Okay, our next speaker this morning is Todd Ruff, and Todd is the Business Development Manager, North America, for SafeMind Technology. Prior to accepting a position with SafeMind, he was a senior research engineer at the NIOSH of Mine Safety and Health Research, where he specialized in machine safety. In his presentation, test results of a GPS-based collision avoidance system at Lion Creek Operations, he's going to discuss the results of a trial of the SafeMind Traffic Awareness and Collision Avoidance System that was conducted on surface mining equipment and light vehicles at Tech's Lion Creek Operations in British Columbia during 2002. How about a warm welcome for Todd?
Thanks, Steve. Can everybody hear me okay? Good morning. I had a haul truck operator tell me one time that driving a haul truck is similar to driving a house around town, but you can only look out your front living room window. And I know that maybe it's not quite that bad, but it illustrates the challenges that most of us are familiar with operating large surface mining equipment that have significant blind areas. And there's collision avoidance systems available, and I wanted to go through some test results of the SafeMind collision avoidance system at a Tech surface coal mine surface operation in Canada. So we'll go through some details on those trial results. Tom Medinsky is my co-author. He provided a lot of the input on these slides. He wasn't able to make it today, but I'll try to answer any tech-related questions as best I can. So Tech's Applied Research and Technology Group has a mine safety project, and one of the objectives of that project is to look at collision avoidance technologies and evaluate what's out there and what might best apply to Tech operations worldwide. The overall goal, of course, is to reduce the number and severity of equipment-related accidents. So the key issues that Tech is looking at is, first of all, we want to understand the mine operations environment at each of their mines and determine if there's procedures and environmental conditions that would influence the effectiveness of a proximity detection or a collision avoidance system. You know, one of the other goals they have is to minimize the operator overload in the cab of the equipment. There's a lot going on, and we don't want to introduce complications or overload the operator with alarms and displays. And so they want to find methods of providing a simple and intuitive interface for safety technology, in particular collision avoidance, and at the same time minimize nuisance alarms in the cab. And those are alarms that may not be urgent or convey urgent information about a potential collision. So you get this alarm, and it doesn't mean much. Well, we want to avoid that and minimize those types of alarms. And then they're also looking at the potential for integrating safety technologies. So we have several systems in the cab already. Can we integrate those into one display? We'll talk more about that. So for the trial objectives at Lion Creek Operations in British Columbia, we were showing the effectiveness of the SafeMind in increasing the operator awareness of nearby equipment and potential collisions between two pieces of equipment. One of the ways to do this, of course, ideally you'd look at the accidents before you implement a system and the accidents after you implement a collision avoidance system and compare, but that data is not always available. So another thing you can do is look at driving behavior before you have implemented the system and how the driver modifies their behavior after you implement a collision avoidance system. So that was the method that we did in this trial. So we have two key scenarios. We wanted to protect all the equipment in the pit. Tech wanted to concentrate also on light vehicle and heavy vehicle interactions, and they also were very interested in the vehicle interactions that were happening around the shuttle. So just a little bit of background on the technology that TEC evaluated. It's a safe mine collision avoidance system. The point here is that it was not a prototype system. This is a commercially available system that's in mines worldwide. We'll give a little bit of background on the technology. So the SafeMine system is a GPS-based system. So it's using GPS to determine the location and the trajectory of the vehicles that are outfitted with the system. And so that information is then broadcast to all the vehicles in the area. And so a prediction is made if two vehicles are on a collision course. It also gives a traffic awareness function of all the vehicles nearby. The basic components are a GPS RF combined antenna that goes on up high on the cab or up above the vehicle on a pole. Then there's the receiving or the GPS receiver and the processing unit that's doing the calculations. And a simple LED display that's about this big that gives an indication of your traffic awareness and your alarms. So the basic components, very simple. There's two things going on in the SafeMine unit. First is traffic awareness, and the second is collision avoidance. And I'll distinguish between the two because the traffic awareness is giving an indication to the operator of the traffic around their vehicle. So there's no audible alarms associated with traffic awareness. This is giving an indication I have another vehicle or another truck off to my right at a certain distance, and this is conveyed using a ring of LEDs you can see on the display there. So, for instance, on that ring of LEDs on the bottom of that, on the display that's shown on the bottom there, you get a green LED indicates that a 12 o'clock position indicates that I have a vehicle out front quite a ways. And then the color of those LEDs changes as the vehicle distance decreases. And then the position on that ring of LEDs changes depending on where the vehicle is in relation to your own. For the collision avoidance, there's something else going on here where we're doing a path prediction. So we project where we think the vehicle is going to be in a certain amount of time. So out in front, so this zone, we call this collision avoidance zone, is around a vehicle. When the vehicle is stopped, that zone is very tight. Right, for collision avoidance. When the vehicle starts moving, the collision avoidance zone extends towards the front based on speed. And so when you have two vehicles heading towards each other, they may not be in close proximity, but if their speed and their trajectory is such that they're on a collision course, then you get the audible alarms. So you get both the visual, you get a light and an audible alarm in the collision avoidance function. So before we start this video, let me set it up a little bit. So the display you see here is what the haul truck operator is seeing in the cabin. So this is the traffic awareness function. And out there, it's kind of hard to see. Out in front of the haul truck is a light vehicle approaching. So you can play the video. So what we're going to see on the LED display is first the green indication up top. Make sure I'm not in the way. Then it turns red, then flashing red, and then red again as it comes. And you can see the position of the LED display as the vehicle passes by. This is an example of the collision avoidance function. So you'll see, again, the display is what the haul truck operator sees. So you can go ahead and start it. So you see this collision zone, indicated by this red area, extend out in front of the haul truck. And it extends, it expands with speed. You see an LED indicating that there's a vehicle around this blind corner. And now we see it. It's a light vehicle. And then you would get an audible alarm, which was indicated up that blinking speaker. Unfortunately, I didn't have sound for this. But as soon as both vehicles back off, or one vehicle backs off, and decreases their speed, those collision zones shrink and the alarms go away. And so it's if the operator reacts to the alarm, they can quiet the alarms by backing off and getting back into a safe situation. Some other functions that are part of this system, besides the basic traffic awareness and collision avoidance, there's black box recording going on inside the processor, so it's recording data about vehicle location and alarms. There's fixed hazard mapping. You can enter in static obstacles like power poles, power lines, stop signs into a database and have them also provide alarms in the system. But another thing is you have the ability to define areas, and you can change the way the alarm behaves depending on the area you're in. We used those during the trial to set up zones where speed had different speeds were changed within the mine. Sync stations allowed us to broadcast updates to the units on the vehicles without having to physically connect. And then we also were able to use a Wi-Fi-enabled main unit in the cab that allowed us remote access to the vehicles, which normally provides real-time tracking, but we used it to access the vehicles and get log files and the data off of the machines during our trial. So just some details on the trial design. It was an 8-week study on 12 machines. And I mentioned this on-off type study. So what we did is we installed the systems. We trained the operators of what was going to be there. For the first 3 weeks of the study, the system was collecting data on vehicle position and the alarms that were generated, but those alarms were not presented to the operator. So the box was quiet in the cabin, just collecting data. Then after the next 5 weeks of the trial, we turned the system on. So we had full functionality. All the alarms were presented to the operator. Several different types of equipment outfitted. So we did a combination of heavy vehicles and light vehicles, and we tried to keep the equipment that outfitted that, because we couldn't do the entire mine, we did a subset of vehicles. We tried to pick vehicles that operated around a certain loading location, around a certain shovel, so that these vehicles were always interacting. This shows just some of the locations for some of the equipment. So that you can see the location for the antenna on a haul truck was on a pole. Try to keep the antenna as high as possible, so on the we either put them on the cab of equipment as shown there, or up on a pole like that. And then the display on the lower right here, you can see the display goes on the dash within the operator's field of view. We don't want them to have to turn their head to look at the display, so it's critical to keep it small and in their line of sight. So the data that we collected consisted of what the black box usually records, and that's vehicle position, speed, heading, and the alarm information. So each box can handle about 2 or 3 days' worth of data, then we would download that data and start over. To download the data, I had mentioned that Wi-Fi link. In fact, we got some help from the engineers in Switzerland at our headquarters to download this data and provide me back in the States with this data. And so we went through the data analysis off the collision data and the alarm data on these boxes. And then we also used operator feedback through interviews and feedback forms to make a decision how effective the system was. Tech was interested in specific things, specific parameters of the system. So they're looking at system accuracy, how accurate was the system in determining the distance between two vehicles. System reliability, both in how available was the GPS signal and providing accuracy, and then also in how often did the system go down? Did we have units fail? Also, system usability, that included is the system easy to install? Is it easy to maintain? And does it provide useful information to the operator? And then overall site safety improvement was another goal. So this is, there's a lot of information here, and I'll leave it for your review afterwards. The main point here is that we were able to meet the criteria, and this was done through the controlled tests that we did at the mine site. It was also done through the, you know, collecting the data during actual mine production, and then there's interviews with the operators. So we met the criteria for accuracy and reliability and usability, and then I wanted to spend a little bit more time on the overall site improvement and what we saw in driver behavior. So this is some data we collected from one of the vehicles. So the light vehicles had speed alarms set. So they, we defined an area in the pit. They had a speed a speed limit of 40 miles an hour in the pit, and we collected data on how often those speeds were exceeded. So during the first part of the study, this is just an example from one of the mine helpers trucks. First part of the study, they weren't receiving this alarm information, so they were allowed to drive as they normally drive. And then during the last half, we turned the alarms on. And so what we saw was a reduction in speeding events from 123 recorded events to 57. So, but what's interesting is that the maximum speed that a driver would go over the speed limit was about 15 miles per hour. So they were going 55 in the pit, say. And this was, but after we turned the alarms on, they immediately recognized, you know, the alarm was loud and, you know, it's going off. I'm going to decrease my speed, and that's why we see the dramatic reduction there in the maximum speed over the speed limit. And also you can see there in the on the lower an actual reduction in events. We also wanted to study what changes we saw in close interactions. Excuse me. So what we saw was, so close interactions were defined as any time a vehicle got within 10 meters of another vehicle. Now this would usually, this would always be indicated by the traffic awareness indicator on that LED screen. They would get the closest LED indication saying that there's a vehicle nearby. So that's one type of indication. The other is if they were on a collision course, they would get a collision alarm. And so on this, this shows light vehicles detecting a haul truck within 10 meters. So this shows the five light vehicles and the alarms per hour. So the alarms were normalized given by dividing by the total driving time of a vehicle. And so you see dramatic reductions. Red is the off phase. Green is when the alarms were turned on. And so you see a dramatic reduction in the amount of close interactions, light vehicles versus haul truck. Saw the same type of thing for haul truck detecting another haul truck. So this would be, again, close interactions. Usually this is following too close is an example. And again, for the four haul trucks, three of them showed dramatic reductions in these close interactions. So what was happening here is the alarms were, you know, were going off, and after learning, you know, what it takes to cause those alarms, they adjusted their driving behavior to avoid them. So another goal of the trial was to look at specific situations and a specific equipment to see if we could customize the alarming scheme based on the mine's requirements, operating procedures around a shovel, for example. So normally the way we have it set up for a shovel is that any time a dozer or a light vehicle comes within the boom swing radius of a shovel, they'll get full collision alarms. The only vehicle that that won't happen for is a haul truck loading. So what happens essentially when a haul truck approaches the shovel, because we know the ID of the vehicle, and we share that ID between both the shovel and the haul truck, so now we know a haul truck is approaching to be loaded, and we can shrink that collision warning zone around the shovel to just include its body swing radius. And so that allows a haul truck to be loaded without alarms. But we still have the issue of a dozer cleaning up, so Tech wanted Part of their procedure is they allow their dozers to get very close to the shovels to clean up. They would get full collision alarms. And so what we did is we adjusted the alarming scheme so that we would only get give the dozer and the shovel operator just a short, like, double beep to let them know the dozer was approaching, but we turned off the full collision alarms. That was only for dozers. All the other vehicles got the full collision alarms when they came within the boom swing radius. I had the same situation for loaders. So a loader approaching a haul truck, you know, your close proximity, you're heading right towards a haul truck, it could result in collision alarms. But it's a normal procedure for the loader, you know, when they're loading a haul truck to come close. And so we were able to suppress the alarms between the loader and the haul truck, but only when the loader was approaching forward. But we still wanted to protect vehicles behind the loader. So as soon as the loader went in reverse, we turned the alarms back on. And so they would detect other vehicles, but not the truck that they were loading. We wanted to show the ability of the system to do real-time tracking. So another function, we had the system connected to over a Wi-Fi network to our track server. And that the track server is essentially a web-based application that allows you to get online and see the location of all your vehicles and their tracks in real time. So we showed the operation of that, but it also allowed us, like I had mentioned, to download the data remotely so that we didn't have to climb on every truck to get our data for the trial. So in summary, text feedback and talking with the operators, we got great feedback from them as far as how the system was working and how we could improve it and what it was very useful for. And they came back and said, hey, in low visibility conditions, this is really useful. They'd have weather come through there, fog, snow, that type of thing. And in that situation, they commented that they could see the use of the system. So the other thing was they found it very useful in tracking the location of nearby light vehicles. We saw the speeding events were greatly reduced. Management was happy about that. Some of the things that the tech pointed out as they learned about change management, introducing a system like that, is early training and operator involvement is essential. And of course, we heard in the earlier presentations about the strong site commitment, strong commitment from management in the implementation of these systems. So from SafeMind's experience, we've been doing this a while now, and we're in several mines, quite a few mines, over 35 mines with 14,000 vehicles equipped right now. So we're finding that it's extremely important to minimize nuisance alarms. Nuisance alarms can be the collision avoidance system killer, right? If you have these things going off all the time, the operators will start to ignore them. So alarms based on context and risk are critical. And then the dynamic safety zones also, when you're doing this path prediction and you're able to adjust the collision avoidance zone of the equipment based on speed and vehicle type, also reduces those nuisance alarms. So we saw also in the data that the operators change their behavior based on these alarms. So they will drive to avoid the alarms, essentially, and avoid the risky situations. So we have a technology that works, but one concern that we hear a lot is, okay, we have another safety technology. Have you seen our cab of a truck or of a shovel? It's already got all these displays. Where are we going to put another display? And so one of the visions we have at SafeMind is to integrate safety technologies that could be collision avoidance and cameras and fatigue monitoring all in one display. Concerned about reducing this clutter, reducing operator overload, and using some intelligence in this fusion of data to provide better alarms, provide better protection around the equipment. And this picture just shows one example of the GPS-based information combined with the cameras on a display. And that's how I have. Any time for questions, Steve?
Todd, was there any technical difficulties in implementing this system?
Northern latitudes for GPS will have a little bit less accuracy than when you're towards the equator. So that's one issue with GPS that we tested quite thoroughly, and we saw no issues that affected the operation of the collision avoidance system. What happens when you have a decrease in accuracy in our system is it automatically adjusts the buffer around the vehicle to accommodate that lack of accuracy. So it didn't affect the operation of the system, but it's one thing that we do look for when we implement a system is GPS satellite availability and its effect on accuracy at the location.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.